Going to be spending just a few minutes in Romans chapter 12, the first couple of verses there. Appreciate Don reading that. Talk about a living sacrifice. We're going to talk about what a living sacrifice might look like, what it should look like today. We know the book was written by Paul, written to the book of Romans. And of course, we have a group of Jews that was very familiar with what sacrifice looked like. They were very familiar with what the meaning of sacrifice was, but we're in a book, 12 chapters in the Romans, where the brethren there, the Gentiles, didn't have that same obligation. So we're going to read verses 1 and 2 again, and then we're going to get into the lesson. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. I'll start off making this statement. There's never been a time when God's been pleased with sacrifices of individuals who are not determined to live holy lives. If our body... And we'll look at this in just a minute, but if we are a temple of the Holy Spirit, we have to be pleasing to God, and we cannot do that if we're not living a holy life. We're going to look at Matthew real quick, book of Matthew. I'm just going to challenge you real quick as we read this. Look at the woe to you. There's three of them. Hypocrites is mentioned three times. Hypocrisy is mentioned after that. But look at the wording used here, Matthew 23, verses 23 through 28. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but the inside they're full of extortion and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the dish, and the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Wow, strong language. Strong language as we look at Matthew and what he's writing here. Verse 28, the last part of verse 28. Outwardly you appear righteous to men. Inwardly, you're full of hypocrisy and lawless. Please let that not be said of us. Let that be an example of how harsh this wording was, that not be said of us today. So what is actually being taught in verses 1 and 2? Just simply put, Christians are called upon to be holy in both mind and body. Both mind and body. We're also to serve God all the time in both mind and body. We as Christians need to understand that our bodies belong to God just as much as our souls do. If you look quickly at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? You are not your own. I have to remind myself of that. You are not your own. As soon as I took on the Lord in baptism, I became property of God's. We are no longer our own. Romans 6, verses 12 and 13. Let not sin reign in your mortal body. We cannot please God. We cannot be a living sacrifice if we let sin reign in our mortal body. So, we must never limit our service to God only to those things that we do here as a congregation on Sundays and Wednesdays. This is a great time for fellowship. It's a great time to lift one another up. But when I go to work tomorrow, when my wife goes to school tomorrow, when my kids go to work or go to school tomorrow, we still need to be that living sacrifice. We still need to be that one that stands out. We still need to be that one that looks different. We still need to be that one that acts different, not conforming to the world. Now, my kids will know which Transformer this is. I do not. The young ones out there can tell me what this thing transforms into. It either transforms into a Camaro, a semi-truck. It transforms into something. I don't know what, but it transforms into something. I would like for us to take the word transformed and use the word transformable. Because with this toy, if you guys watched the movie, these things transform on their own. If this were a car, a truck, a whatever it is, going down the road, it transforms on its own. In real life, it doesn't. It's a toy. And those of you that are grandparents or parents and have seen that toy, your child or yourself have to make it into something else. It has to be transformed into something else. I would like for us tonight just to look at us as being transformable. Meaning, I give my will to God. And when I do that, make me yours. Mold me and make me how you want me to be. The transformer, which is what this person is identified as, looks like this for a minute and then can transform himself, or we can transform himself. But just simply a play on words, I would like for us to look at ourselves as transformable. I'm still learning. I'm still loving God. I want to be transformed into this being that pleases God all the time. The first part of that verse talks about, in verse 2, do not be conformed. And I put a leaf up because as a leaf falls off a tree and hits the ground, the wind picks it up and blows it from place to place. Really has no purpose. It really has no direction. It really has no root. The next day, the wind blows a different direction. It goes back from whence it came, or it goes to another place, or it gets run over, or it gets soiled. Whatever happens to it, that leaf does not become anything until it gets roots. But a leaf just blowing in the wind is conformed by the world. It just goes from place to place, not settling, not accepting anything, not being rooted. It just goes from place to place. I want to look at Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because a carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. The last image I'm going to put up here, I want to share a few words about this as we look at it. Let's go back to early Christianity. They would have understood the story of Abraham and Isaac. Abraham, a man well in his years, and finally given a child. I can semi-relate to that. I had my three perfect kids, and now I've got two little ones. I can semi-relate to Abraham. When it comes time to sacrifice, maybe so there too. But as we look at this story, Abraham, by faith, walks with Isaac to an altar. And he thanks to offer his son. Of course, to abbreviate the story, we know you see a ram caught in a thicket, and that sacrifice is made. Jesus and his sacrifice. Think back to the Jews. Anytime the word sacrifice is mentioned, it usually has a blood connotation to it. Sacrifice in early Christianity had a blood connotation to it. The Israelites would have used blood sacrifice for atonement of their sin. So they would have taken an animal to an altar and sacrificed its blood for their sin. So a life would have been spared or shed, in other words, on the altar. This is something that the Jews are very well familiar with. They're familiar with that type of sacrifice. They're familiar with the type of sacrifice that atonement comes from blood. Levites, in the book of Leviticus, chapter 17, verse 11, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it for you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement by the life." They understood that. Let's go back to our text. Paul is writing in Romans to a group of individuals that are not under that same obligations. The book of Romans, where it's written at the time, is primarily Gentile. They don't follow those same guidelines that their Jewish brethren did. So when Paul is writing this and asking, "I need you to be a living sacrifice," the Jews can catch part of that. The Gentiles, he needs to explain what that is. A living sacrifice is an individual that gives mind, body, and soul to God. Whether you're in a worship service, whether you're at a ball game, whether you're at a circus, whatever that is, you are a Christian. You act like that. Looking at sacrifice, and maybe I'm thinking about this because most of you know the boys have 4-H pigs, and the end of this month, it may be time to take them out if they're still in here, because the end of this month comes auction time, okay? And auction time means, for me, bacon. Sacrifice. We're sacrificing a pig. Now, it's not going to be in the way, but I just want us to think that early Christianity did not see it this way. Today, we go to Homeland and buy a 1-pound package of bacon. You don't think what it took for that animal to get there, right? We want bacon. We want sausage. We want a T-bone steak. We go purchase that. It's in a plastic wrap. We take it home. We cook it. Is there any thought about the sacrifice that animal went through? We don't do that. We don't do that. Having worked in a stockyard in a previous life, I was a young man right out of high school. Went into a management position right out of high school. They hire me right out of high school and say, "We'll pay for your college if you go to work for us now in a managerial training program." So I did that. They sent me to Massillon, Ohio, to a plant there that slaughters hogs, where hot dogs and stuff is made. After I walked through that plant and witnessed that, it was years before I ate a hot dog. That's just that. After you see the animal come in, and I'm not going to go into how they do that, but because I have two boys sitting back there wondering what's going to happen to Myrtle and Dixie. So we'll, adults, you can leave it to your imagination, but I'm asking us tonight, just for a few moments, to think about a living sacrifice. When Paul writes this and asks about a living sacrifice, we are to give our best. We are to give our best, just as the Jews or the Israelites did every time they took a sacrifice or an animal to the altar. They didn't pick one that was damaged. They did not pick one that was blemished. They did not pick one, "Oh, hey, we can take that one because it's already got a broke leg." They took the best. God expects the best from us. So when Paul is writing in this text, "Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable." if we conform to what is going on in today's society, conform to the things that cause lust, conform to the things that cause distraction, we will not be pleasing to God. So as we close tonight, as we come to a point in the lesson that I really want us to focus on, look at the sacrifice that you see on the screen. The sacrifice of faith that Abraham made, the sacrifice that our Lord and Savior made as he gave his blood for us. That came at a price. That came at a tremendous price. So my question for us tonight, are we willing to make that sacrifice? Most of us in this auditorium have. There are others that are contemplating that. If you're contemplating putting your Lord on in baptism, that sacrifice comes at a price. But that is a price of peace. It is a price of eternal life with our God. So the world throws a lot at us. And when I talk about that leaf and how it just floats and flies back and forth, please don't be that one. Be transformable. Be transformable. When we're transformable, we're made to mold in God's image, not our own. I leave the lesson with you tonight, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Once again, we have a somewhat shortened service because of the fellowship tonight, but I also love these two verses, very powerful verses. If someone in here tonight has not put their Lord on in baptism and wants to, that opportunity's here. Would you all please stand and sing?